Now, here's the question for us today. You know, if we're going to try to live in a dark world, right, that's what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter. We're in our series, 1 Peter, simply called Standing Firm. And if we're living in this dark world, how do we continue to live in a dark world when that dark world goes hostile? Right? How many of you have ever experienced any hostility? You're trying to serve the Lord, you're trying to do what's right, and man, you're facing hostility. Yeah, go ahead, raise the hands. I think we've all been there at some point, right? Now, how are we to respond? This is what we want to look at today, because here's how the world responds, right? When the world gets hostile, and if you're living in the flesh, your tendency is to fight back, right? Your tendency is to blast people. It's your right to tear people apart. You will go after them. You'll post stuff. You'll slander people. You know, you get hurt, you want to hurt back. That's what the world does. But Peter is trying to teach us that even when things are hostile, we can still treat people kindly. We can still treat people the way Jesus would want us to treat them. I don't know what is going on in our country, but I think there's just this crazy thought, and maybe I'm way off base, but it's like there's this whole appeal to the First Amendment. I can do whatever I want to do. I can say whatever I want to say. And it's my First Amendment right. No, you cannot. Right? There are still things you cannot say. If I make up stuff and I'm lying about you and slandering you, I could still be sued for libel and slander. If I go out and I destroy public property because I don't like what's going on in that location, I could still be arrested for vandalism, right? You do not have just a carte blanche to go do what you want to do. And yet we're living in this mentality, and it's just this growing hostility. And we're not to be, as followers of Jesus Christ, the ones doing that. And so what's our response? And so today, I think Peter outlines three choices that we can make. And there's a benefit that goes with each choice. I want to share those today. So if you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter. We're in chapter 2. And then in your notes, we'll fill these in, all right? So let's just hop right into this. If you have your notes, let's fill the first one in. And this is the first choice you can make. I will choose to submit to every authority out of reverence for God. I will choose to submit to every authority out of reverence for God. This is what Peter says as he starts this section. Read this with me. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Read it with me. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So when things start going from bad to worse, it's amazing that Peter doesn't say, here's your five ways to deal with the stress. What's he say? Submit. Submit. The Greek word submit is hypotasso, and it means submit. It means to literally to place under, to subject yourself, to stand under. Hupo is under, tasso to stand. You are to stand under. In other words, there's an order that is prescribed, and you are going to put yourself under that order and live according to that order. Submit. Place yourself under that authority. And Peter says you do that even for the emperor. You do that for the president, President Trump. You do that for the governor, Jerry Brown. Regardless of where you stand on this, we submit to the authority. And we don't submit just because that's the authority. We submit because we understand that that authority is there by God. And so we submit, he says, for the Lord's sake, we submit. And this works not just with the government leaders. He goes on, he says, in verse 18, he says what? Yeah, it's on the screen. Slaves. Slaves in reverent fear of God do what? Submit yourselves to your masters. What? And he's not just talking like the real good masters and kind masters, right? He's talking evil masters, right? Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is what? Commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they're conscious of God. You're aware of God. So we submit to every authority out of reverence and fear of God. Now, I understand the slavery issue, it's not a race issue in the first century in time of Rome. In fact, slavery was so rampant, a lot of people would sell themselves into slavery. because they say, if I can become a slave of that wealthy family, actually my quality of life will increase. And so doctors were slaves. Teachers would sell themselves into slavery. And so they could better their lifestyle. And so the better analogy, slaves and masters, is really employer-employee, right? And some of you are like, ding, that makes total sense. That you just described my workplace. That guy's a master and I'm a slave. Yeah, right? So the deal with the slavery, it's even though, you know, you could have sold yourself to better yourself in the first century, there was one common denominator. And that is if you sold yourself into slavery, you sold your rights. You were no longer considered even a human. And so, in fact, Aristotle, this is from his writing, Politics, he says, there can be no friendship nor justice toward an inanimate object, indeed not even toward a horse or an ox, nor yet toward a slave as a slave. For master and slave have nothing in common. A slave is a living tool, just as a tool is an inanimate slave. And so it's like you move yourself into slavehood, you have no rights. And here's Peter now saying, even though you may have sold yourself to better your life and now you're under harsh treatment, you have no rights. You still honor that authority placed over you, as harsh as it might be, as horrific as it might be. Remember what Peter, he's writing to a church that is being persecuted by Nero, right? Would throw Christians just for the sheer humor into the lion's den to be eaten by lions. He would burn them at the stake. And so he understands what's going on, and yet he's the one who says, he didn't write to say, rise up, fight back. Right? Things are going bad and things are hostile and you got every right. No, he says, do what? Submit out of reverence for God. Listen, in our country, this is hard for us to get our mind around because we're a democracy, right? And we feel that because I voted that person into office, I have every right to demand of him. Don't we? We feel like we're in control. That person's there to represent me. And I got him there. No, the Lord got him there. All right? And so what happens for a lot of us is when this person no longer represents us, we feel like we're justified to attack them and to blast them and to tear them down, don't we? And then if we didn't vote for them, it's free game, right? And we say things like, that person's not even my leader. That person's not my president. No, they're still your president. And they're placed in authority by God. So we're to submit out of respect to God. That's our stance, gang. That's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ, as hard as it is, and even in our culture, right? So we respect, I don't know where you stand on the political spectrum, but President Trump is our president. And I don't know where you stand on the political spectrum, but Jerry Brown is our governor. And so we honor and we respect and we submit. Now, that doesn't mean you just roll over and just say, go do whatever you want. All right, whatever. Now, listen, if there's ever a time, right, where the laws of man contradict the law of God, then we always go after the law of God. We always obey the law of God. We may have to pay the consequence for that, but we always go after the law of God. And if there's things that are happening and we have the authority and the right to stand up on behalf of other people, then we should leverage that to free other people. I mean, the whole Harvey Weinstein thing that's been happening, that's horrific. That should never have happened. People should have stood up. It said, this is not okay. And that's our responsibility. If we have that right, we stand up and say, this is not okay. We may get blasted for it, but we still stand up and protect the innocent, right? Over all of this, though, the end of the day, Christians are supposed to be ones that honor their authority. We should not be the ones, when people think of the church, we're the ones out there inciting riots. We're the ones out there slandering. They should not think of that when they think of the church. It should not be the case. Because the church understands that the authority that is over us right now is from God. Paul puts it this way in Romans 13, right? Paul said this. He says, slaves in reverent fear of God do what? Amen. That's still of Peter. We just keep going for the next one. He said this, let everyone be what? Subject. You know the word subject? It's the Greek word hupotasso. Submit. Let everyone be submissive. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. and the authorities that exist have been established by God. Keep going, verse 2. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Listen, that authority is there by God, and that extends at all levels of life. Even students with teachers and administration, right? There's things you do not agree with your teachers or your administration, we still submit to them. Even though it doesn't make any sense. Why do I have to have a hall pass? Right? We still do this. Thanks, John. It's like, do I hear an amen from over there? Amen. Do I hear an amen over there? Yeah, right. Oh, we submit. Now, here's the deal. David understood this. King David understood this. Do you know the story of David? Remember, who was the king before David? Saul. He had been anointed to be the king, right? Problem is, Saul went rogue. Saul rebelled. God says, my favor is no longer on Saul. And so God anoints David as king. Problem is, now David's been anointed king, but who's the real king on the throne? Saul still is. And this Saul goes crazy. This Saul goes after David. This Saul hates David. This Saul tries to go to David's house to have him killed. This Saul chases David all around, you know, Palestine into the mountains trying to kill David. And it's like, okay, you've been anointed king, David. Don't you have the right to destroy Saul? And David said, I will not lay a hand on the authority over me because I don't want to be guilty before the Lord. Remember David saying this? Bring it up so you see that it's in the scripture. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Don't destroy Saul. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be what? Guiltless. Surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. Let's keep going. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. David said, I'm not going to touch him. I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be guilty before God of disrespecting the authority that God placed over us. And my concern is how many of us were guilty before the Lord. We're guilty because we have touched God's anointed through criticism and slander, and we attack them, right? The authority that is there by God. So the choice we have is that we can submit to every authority out of reverence for God. Now, what's the benefit of that? Here's the benefit. I think that Peter will show us. Here's the benefit. Right in your notes is this. Oh, let's pause right there. I forgot about this, huh? Woo! Thought I could get away with that one. Peter says this works in every level of relationship, all the way even down to marriage. Even down to marriage. He says, wives, in the same way, what? Submit. Whoa, guys, you got a little aggressive on that, man. Submit to your own husbands. Listen, let me just be careful on this, all right? Let me be clear. When we're talking submission, you guys love the other rest of the teaching, right? About, okay, we'll submit to authorities, but marriage? Don't know if I'm really there yet. Listen, this is not about superior, inferior, right? Donald Trump is not superior to you, right? He has a position that is over you, but he's not superior to you. And in that marriage relationship, it's not superior, inferior. There's an order that God has put into the universe, and things work great when it's according to that order. And so he says, even in the marriage relationship, this works. You want love, you want harmony, you want unity. Wives, just like the slaves were submitting to the master, just like we're supposed to submit to a tyrannical leader, Nero, wives, you should be submitting to your husbands. Submit to your husbands. So it works in that context. We're going to unpack more of this here in just a few minutes. So let's keep going. Here's the benefit. By submitting to those in authority, I will earn influence that others don't have. Do you realize that? When you begin to submit to those who are in authority over you, you're going to earn an influence with them that other people don't have. This is like leadership 101, right? You've got positional power, positional authority. Those people are over you because of a title, but there's also personal power. And people are going to turn to you because of who you are and your character and your relationship. And you know that you can influence, even though you don't have a position or a title, you can influence the people in position and title because of who you are. this is like a parenting secret, right? And so I'm talking to my daughter over here, right? So it's amazing. When the parents come along, right, and the parents say, this is what we're asking you to do, you know, it would be really great for the kids to say, okay, yes, Dad, right? Because you're submitting to that authority. And here's what's amazing. So we say your curfew is like 10 o'clock. Come home at, it's not, but come home at 9:45, right? And it's like, whoa, you blow us away. Because here's what happens. When you begin to submit to the authority over you, guess what happens? You get this incredible influence with your parents. Isn't that right, parents? Yeah, see? Every parent here is like, yep, you're right. Preacher, pastor. Yeah, so this works in all these different relationships and dynamics. Now, what is the influence that Peter says that we could have? He says this, verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. You know, often when people are talking and they're blasting you, you want to fight back and you want to label them and you want to hurt them. And he says, no, it's by doing good works that you will silence them. And the word for silence is actually muzzling them. It's God's will that you will muzzle them. And they're going to try to say something to you, and they're not going to be able to say anything to you. You're like, what'd you say? See, I didn't think so. It's because your good works, you've earned that influence with them by serving them, by humbling yourself to serve them. And it literally shuts them down. Isn't that awesome? Paul puts it this way. He says this, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. This is what God does. Let God do what God does, all right? And then here's our responsibility. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Keep going. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Man, you serve your enemy. You serve those who are in authority over you. You can heap burning coals on their head. You're going to muzzle them into silence. Isn't that awesome? It's a benefit. It's an influence that you can have over those in your life just by submitting to the authorities in our life. And I tell you, don't we all want to influence our friends to Jesus? And I tell you, there's some things, as I just was thinking back, the stuff that Christians believe, the stuff we say we believe, it's kind of outlandish, right? And I think sometimes our neighbors have every right to say, what? You believe what? But when we serve them and we love them, we earn the right that they may not agree with what we believe, they may not understand it, but they won't blast you for it. I mean, think of some of the things you believe. And this runs contrary to our world, right? You believe that there is a personal living being that has no beginning and no ending. And in 6 days, he created the universe. Some of you are like, I don't believe that. Well, it's in the Bible. I'm just taking it literally here, okay? A lot of people are like, what? It's really crazy. It's outlandish. And on top of that, you believe that God, this God, right, took on human form and lived as a person in the Middle East and was killed on a cross. God died on a cross, right? And then on the third day, he was raised from the dead, and he's still alive today. That's kind of outlandish. That's like silly talk, right? But here, catch this. This always gets me. If we take it literally, this same Jesus is coming back, and he's riding a white horse. Woohoo! It's in the Bible. And you're going to tell somebody that, they're going to say, Right? That's goofy talk. Listen, you serve somebody, you humble yourself, and you love on them. The stuff that may sound silly, they're going to say, I can't argue with it because it's making a difference in your life. And so you begin to submit the authority. You're going to begin to earn an influence with them that other people aren't going to have. And that works even in marriages. Listen, a lot of times, right, we get into our relationship and there's tension and we want to just nag, nag, nag and attack, attack, attack. And Peter's like, doesn't work. Submit. Surrender. Serve them. Think, what's the next verse up here? 1 Peter 3:1-2, wives in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words. By what? the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your life. So the influence that you can have even over your harsh husband is you can win him over and silence him just by your behavior, Peter says. Instead of attacking him, you can win him over. There's a story of George Mueller, right? He was known for prayer and praying, but he tells a story of this wealthy German who would, he would go to the tavern every night, and he'd hang out with his buddies, and he'd get drunk. And then he would come home, and his wife, she would dismiss and put all the servants, let them go to bed, and she'd wait up for her husband. And when he'd come home, sometimes she'd have to help him undress and get him into bed, but she never said a word. And she served him, and if he was hungry, she made him a meal. And she would do that regularly. And one night, this guy, wealthy German, who always hangs out at the tavern, getting drunk with his buddies, he started bragging to his buddies. Man, guys, check this out. My wife, we could go over to her, the house right now, and I bet she'd make us a meal. And she wouldn't even say a word. And they're like, really? Let's go try this out. So they come to the house, right? And he brings all these drunk buddies with him back to the house. And his wife walks up, serves every single one of them, makes them a meal. And then she dismisses herself. And the buddies, according to George Mueller, looked at this husband and says, dude, you're a fool. They didn't say that in the 17th century, but they said, what are you doing? Why are you treating your wife like that? And then one guy got up, he didn't finish his meal, and he left. And the next buddy got up and left too. He's like, I can't participate in this. And a half hour later, this gentleman goes into his wife and says, would you forgive me? Would you pray with me? And George Mueller said he received Christ. Literally, one without a word. It was just her serving and earning that influence. And Mueller goes on, he adds this. He says, don't be discouraged if you have to suffer from unconverted relatives. Perhaps very shortly, the Lord may give you the desire of your heart and answer your prayer for them. But in the meantime, seek to commend the truth, not by reproaching them on account of their behavior toward you, but by manifesting toward them the meekness, gentleness, and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One without a word, influencing, serving, submitting yourself to the authority over you, and you're going to earn influence that other people don't have. And where does this come from? It's an internal thing. Peter says it has to come from inside. As he goes this, your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, where should it come from? It should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, a gentle spirit, a spirit that has learned to control its emotions, a spirit that doesn't demand its own way. And it's going to be a quiet spirit. It's a spirit that says, okay, I'm going to bite my tongue. And I'm not going to nag. These things are of great worth in God's sight. Internal beauty, inner beauty. Listen, real beauty is a work of the heart, not a work of art. That is so good, you should tweet that right now. Real beauty is a work of the heart, not a work of art. You know what I'm saying? Comes from the inside. And when you begin to submit out of that beauty and reverence for Jesus Christ, you can influence the people around you. And listen, guys, you're not off the hook. It goes both ways, right? Verse 7, Peter goes on, husbands in the same way what? As the wives are submitting, as the slaves are submitting, as all of us are submitting, husbands in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Not weaker in the sense of, oh man, you're a weaker sex and you don't have what it takes. No. Weaker in the sense of fragile, gentle. I want to love and dote on this individual as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. God has placed this woman in your life, gentlemen, to be your life partner, to enjoy this adventure here on this planet of being on mission with God. And so what's the benefit? So that nothing will what? Okay, so four of you are interested in this. So that nothing will what? Hinder your prayer life. Think about this. This is the benefit of corporate prayer built into marriage. When you are there with your spouse praying, the Lord listens. And when you're living in humility and oneness with one another and submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ, there's power in your prayer, and the Lord's going to hear your prayer, and it's going to be unhindered. Don't you want your kids to raise up and know the fullness of God? Don't you want to see God show up in your neighborhood and in your house? The secret, husbands and wives praying together. And you know why I think the enemy, or spiritual enemy, Satan, attacks so many couples? Because he understands the truth of the power of prayer in your marriage more than you do. He says, if I can get them divided and separated and they're not praying together, then there's no power. So he's going after you. Man, turn the table. Come together in mutual submission, loving one another through Jesus Christ, and see what he begins to do in your prayer life as a couple. Woo! So you begin to have an influence that other people just won't have when you begin to surrender to every authority over you. Second choice. I'm going to have to go through this pretty quick. I will choose to use my freedom for your benefit. So Peter says, okay, not only are you going to submit the authority, but you got to use the freedom that you have for the benefit of the people in your life. This is what he says, verse 16. Live as what? Live as free people. But don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Whoa, time out. I'm supposed to live as a free person, but I'm supposed to live as God's slave. How do those work? How do you get those to go together? Listen, I think this is what Peter is saying. Listen, as a person living on this planet, in this plane, you live within the law. You have to live with, but understand, the law is real basic. The law is not going to inspire you to greatness. The law tells you what you can do to get along and survive, right? But we are no longer citizens of this place. We're citizens of heaven. We've been told two or three times already, you're to live as a temporary resident, as citizens of heaven. And because you're a citizen of heaven, you're free. You're in the citizenship of the Father. And so we live within the law, but we also live above the law. We're free from the constraints of this law because our citizenship is here. These laws don't even apply to us. But because of respect and reverence to God who's placed the authorities in structure they are, we willingly now bend our knee and re-enter into this mess as free people because we want the world to see what a citizen of heaven looks like and lives like and acts like on this planet. That's what Peter's trying to say. So use your freedom because you're free in Jesus Christ. Use your freedom not to indulge your own sinful desires to go do what you want to do. Use your freedom for other people. As a slave of God here in this earth. And how do we live? Verse 17, he adds this. Oh, this is Martin Luther. You guys know who Martin Luther is? Protestant reformer, right? Kind of launched the whole Protestant Reformation. October 31st, 1517, nailed the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door. Listen, October 31st this year, 500 years ago. Right, Protestant Reformation, he launched it with those 95 theses. He said this, he says, a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none, but a Christian is also a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. So we live in this tension, is what he's trying to say. Let's keep moving here. Verse 17, how do we live as free people? We show proper respect to whom?
Everyone.
Right, now here's the deal. Do some study on this. This is a horrible translation, right? Because respect is earned. The real word is honor all. That's all it says. Honor all. Honor is given. Whether that person's earned it, deserves it or not, you honor that individual. And that's what Peter is saying. Honor all. Love the family of believers. You see a need, you meet a need, you're on call, you take care of one another, right? You fear God. And because you fear God, what else do we do? Yeah, that Nero guy who's not really nice to you, you honor him. Can you imagine the people saying, are you kidding? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't compute in our mind. We're paying taxes to this guy who wants to kill us, and you're telling us to honor him? Yep, because you're a citizen of heaven, and you're living free, and you're living for the benefit of the people in your life. In fact, here's the benefit. Let's keep going. Next slide. When I live as a free person, I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. Let that sink in for just a second. Because now you're a citizen of heaven, right? I'm free. Everything I need has been supplied in Jesus Christ. I don't need anything from you, but I want everything for you. Do you understand this? Just that little switch, what a difference that makes in your life? I mean, think back in your own, this last week, how many conflicts did you have? If you're married between your spouse, how many conflicts do you have were because you wanted something from them and they didn't give it to you, right? And that goes with our kids, right? If you're existing as a spouse, I mean, this is so subtle. If you're existing as a spouse and I want my spouse to affirm who I am, and so I'm going to clean the dishes and I'm going to clean the house just so I can hear her say, good job, right? You're a slave no longer to Jesus. You're a slave to your spouse because only your spouse is going to be able to give you the approval you're looking for. It's the same way as you're parenting and you're trying to get your kids to like you and to respect you. That ain't going to happen, right? And you're going to get frustrated and angry with them because they're not giving you what you want. But if you can flip that and say, I'm not doing this so you'll be pleased with me or proud of me, but I'm doing this because I love you and I want to serve you and I want to reduce the stress in your life and I want to know that you to know that you're not alone, right? When you begin to do that, how drastically does the dynamic change in your life, right? I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. And that's what Peter's been writing. He said, I don't want anything from you. I want you to know, though, that you have this incredible inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's never going to spoil, fade. It's not going to ever go away. You are connected to the living Christ through the cornerstone. He gives all these incredible benefits. Is this what I want for you? Paul puts it this way, right? Just kind of a spin on some of the same verses, but here is what Paul says. He says, Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be what? Free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. I'm here for you. I don't want anything from you. I'm here for you. In fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you and just say, I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. Go ahead. Yeah. So let me ask you, what is it you really want for the people in your life? What is it? What is it you really want for the people in your life? Not from them, but for them. This is something you've got to get your mind around because here's the deal. We use the freedom that God has given us for the people in our life, right? We're submitting to every authority. I'm going to choose to submit to every authority, and I'm going to choose to use my freedom for your benefit. But there's one more little choice that Peter says you have to make, and that is this. Because things will not always go to plan, and it may get actually worse. And he says, this is what you're going to have to do. Here's the third choice. I will choose to endure wrongdoing. You're going to have to choose to endure it. Not to react to it, not to fight against it, but I'm going to have to endure it. Because when I begin to endure the wrongdoing, I begin to show the world who Jesus really is. I mean, think about what Jesus went through right here. Keep going, verse 20. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it, right? If you did something wrong and you got beat for it, you're a fool to endure that, he says. What benefit did that give you, right? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is what? Commendable before God. God sees this and says, this is commendable. It's rewardable. Why? Because now you're beginning to reflect my son, Jesus Christ. And so you're going to endure so people can see who Jesus is. Let's keep going. Verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Who is Jesus Christ? Son of God, right? God in the flesh. What was Jesus' example? He was kind, he was gracious, he was compassionate, he was loving. What was he not? He wasn't inconsiderate, he wasn't angry, he wasn't spiteful, he wasn't hateful, was he? And so we're supposed to be following the example of Jesus Christ when things go from bad to worse. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, he endured that because he wanted all the world to know the Father and the love the Father has for his creation. And how is the world going to know the love of the Father if it's not through us, right? And so we're called to endure. And then he begins to give the example out of Isaiah 53. This is what he says. Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Keep going. Verse 23, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. So when they were blasting him and things were going from bad to worse and they were beating him, he didn't utter any kind of threats or retaliation. Instead, what did he do? He entrusted himself to him. That's God the Father who judges justly. I'm trusting God in this. He's the one who will make amends. He is the one, that Paul says, who will avenge you. You don't need to worry about that. Let God do that. Give room for God to work, is what he's saying. And then keep going. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, for by his wounds you have been healed. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, right? Just kind of wandering the hillside. But now you have returned to whom? The shepherd and overseer of your souls. You've returned back to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the King of Kings and who is the Lord of Lords. And even though he was despised and he was rejected, he did not retaliate. And he submitted himself to the Father's will. And he submitted to the authorities that were around him. You understand that, right? Even to Pontius Pilate, he submitted to that authority. Even though God the Father was behind it all. And it was unjust, and he submitted to it. In fact, if you get to a little later, in fact, remember the encounter that Jesus had with Pontius Pilate? He says this. Pontius Pilate says, do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. So this power you think you have is not really yours, so I'm submitting to you out of reverence for my Father. And this submission led Jesus to the cross, unjustly and unfairly. But that's our example, because we want the people in our life to know Jesus, right? And so that's the argument that Peter's making. You choose to submit to every authority, and you choose to use the freedom you have for their benefit. Listen, you're going to have to choose to endure the hardship that comes your way. Because when you begin, this is in your notes, when you begin to live that way, when you begin to live the way that Jesus lived, right, and you begin to do what Jesus did, you're going to show the world who Jesus is. This is the next little benefit right here. We do what Jesus did so people may see who Jesus is. Listen, we are called to be different. We're called to be different. We live in a world that everybody's trying to squeeze us into this normal mode, right? So you get hurt, you want to hurt in return. You get wronged, you want to wrong in return. You get hate on, you want to hate back, right? You're driving down the road, somebody comes by and they give you the birdie. Don't you want to take that, yeah, it's on, right? You want to take that fish sticker off the back of your car, don't you, Mario? And you want to chase that person down and you want to lay your hands on them in the name of Jesus, right? Yeah, see, I know how it goes. Yeah, but that's not who we're supposed to be. We're not to be that way. We're to be different. We're to endure the wrongdoing for the sake of Jesus so the people in our life can begin to see who Jesus is, because this is what he is. Listen, and I think of all these choices, this is the one that probably hit Peter the hardest. Do you remember the encounter on the night of Jesus' arrest? And who was in the garden with Jesus? Peter. And you remember Judas shows up? And Judas comes up to Jesus, and he betrays Jesus with what? A kiss. And Peter does what? Whack! Right? And he takes the sword, and whack! Takes the ear off. Right? In fact, I'm going to pull this up, because you got to read this and get the understanding of everything here. This is how we're supposed to react. This is the few verses after where we were going to go today, but 1 Peter 3:9, setting us up for next week. Do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Because this is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you the blessing, right? We live like Jesus. We do what Jesus did so people will see who Jesus is. But let's keep going here real quickly. This is Jesus in the garden. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Keep going. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. I think it was pretty forceful. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. In fact, you go over to the other passage, it says this. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? So listen, Peter is there in that garden. And here's Judas, one of the 12. And Judas comes up, and he's a hypocrite. When it comes to the will of God, He's playing the hypocrite, and his weapon was a kiss. And Peter fought against the will of God, and his weapon was a sword. And Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father with a cup. And I think this hit Peter pretty hard. And now he's writing to this church. It says, you know what you should behave like Jesus? And you should endure all the wrong that comes your way. Because I was in that position and I didn't do it. And every single one of us in this room, we have the same choice. We can betray Jesus with a hypocritical kiss. We can use our words and say, oh yeah, I'm for Jesus. Or we can pull out a sword and we can fight back against the establishment and everything else in the name of Jesus and justify our action. Or we can actually submit to the will of the Father and pick up the cup that he's given each one of us to drink and surrender to his will. Which choice are you going to make? You're going to submit to every authority placed over you out of reverence and respect to God the Father? You're going to use your freedom for the benefit of the people in your life? Are you going to, I just drew a blank, isn't that weird? I'm getting old. I know. Go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. There you go. Endure wrongdoing. Woo. Yeah. For his sake. Which one of those three you need to work on? All of them? Write it in your notes, man. Write it in your notes. Circle them all if that's what you got to do. And let's close in a word of prayer this morning.